Amen. Long live the King. A great song this morning. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 78. That tenor singer may be having some issues this morning. Maybe it's because he jumped in my pool last night. Were you one of the ones? No? Well, you could have said yes. That gave me, you know, anyway. Yeah, a couple of the guys heard a splash, and my pool was like 49 degrees. So, anyway, we have a good time. Usually when we have these groups come in, they usually stay at my house, and I enjoy that a lot. I enjoy getting to know them and fellowshipping with them. It's been good to get to know Brother Allen and his wife, and just a blessing. It's always good to have Russell back with us. Amen. Amen. Psalm 78. Psalm 7. I know some of you are looking at the clock, and we'll finish a few minutes late this morning, but not too bad, okay? Psalm 78. Let's look at verse 1. And give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. And we need to be doing that, don't we? Continue to show the generations to come. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And this is our text this morning, that they might set their hope in God. Who? The children. And the children's children after them. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let's pray. Lord, bless again the reading of Your Word. We pray this morning You would help us to remember our past. Lord, in order that we might do right in the future, help us, Lord, to remember to pass it on to our children and grandchildren. God, we pray for Your will and way this morning. We pray for Your Spirit to be evident today. And Lord, we thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. As you've already been stated, history is important. And remembering history and learning from it is a great help to us. And I think all across the nation and in our courts, also in the halls of the government, if our politicians would do a little more history review, it would certainly help. I appreciate that we have a country that's been based upon Judeo-Christian law, Judeo-Christian ethics. What a blessing it is. Amen? And it's still it's slowly but surely being eroded away. And, well, that's a whole other prayer. We need to pray for our country. As we think about spiritually our history, the cross of Calvary and the price that was paid on it by the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us. We think about history when it comes to our church, and I'm so thankful for Heritage Baptist Church and for our start 14 years ago, and how God intervened and gave us this land, and how God has seen to fit to give us great facilities. But more than all that, and God's given us some good people, given us some great people, and what a great family we have at Heritage Baptist. And we think about our spiritual heritage when it comes to being a Baptist. And by the way, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist with a capital B. I'm a Baptist to the bottom of my feet, to the top of my head. I'm proud to be a Baptist. And as long as you guys allow me to, I said you guys, I did that for the northern people. As long as y'all allow me to pastor here, Baptist will always be on the name. Because I'm proud to be a Baptist. It identifies who I am. It identifies who we are and our body of doctrine and the historic Baptist faith. Learning from our past helps us to avoid mistakes, right? I mean, even in our own lives, we have a set of experiences we've had, and it's important that we take those set of experiences and apply them to the future to help us to keep from repeating the same mistakes. Amen? None of us have ever repeated the same mistake. But we can. We should learn from our past. And as I said before, the government should learn from its past. And as Christians, we should learn from our past. We think about In the government, we think about learning to avoid mistakes. By the way, a lot of problems with not remembering the past or not taking examples from the past is ingratitude. Unthankful. The Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. People be lovers of their own selves, and going down through the list. And one of the things on the list is unthankful. And we live in that day and age, don't we? And my goal is to preach on that next Sunday, so I don't want to go through it, but I just unthankful. We need to be a thankful people and thankful for how God has blessed our country and thankful for those who have led our country and thankful for those of our Baptist heritage and the price that was paid. But boy, we can sure learn from history. We can learn from the history of the Israelites. By the way, one of the reasons why you can absolutely say or tell that the Old Testament is inspired by God is because if I were a Jew, I would want some of that stuff written down, would you? Would you? If I was a Jew, I wouldn't want some of this Old Testament written down. But yet it is preserved for us. And one of the proofs that it is inspired. But we can learn from Israel's history. We can learn not only from practically from their history, but we can learn spiritually from their history. And the Bible says in the New Testament that the Old Testament was written primarily for New Testament saints. And we can learn, and we are to use them as an example. Our country could learn by studying its history, as I've already stated. Our country could learn by reading Roman history. Because we are repeating Roman history. Is there not a clue? I mean, can't one politician pick up a history book and say, oh, look, this is what Rome did and how they fell. Huh, looks just like our history. Maybe we should change something. I changed my tone of voice because it's sad, but it's just unbelievable how common sense has been thrown out the window. Anyway, you're welcome. Not learning from history. Not learning from history. We need to learn from our history. We think about spiritually as we continue to see immorality and all these things on the rise in America. By the way, that immorality and that downgrade, if you would, that spirituality going downhill, it starts in steps. The first one is downgrading this and the absolute authority of Scripture. This is the very Word of God. This is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And we need to keep it up here, not down here. Amen. I like Lester Olof. You say, well, I don't agree with Lester Olof to say that this is my law. This is our law. And by the way, our government was placed upon this. The foundation of our government law was placed upon this. And again, he wasn't defying a court order. He told you that. He was defying the welfare department, who had no authority to delve into church-run institutions. That was the whole point. And there's several more, but that was one of the main points. But we think about that. Evolution. God made the heavens and the earth. God made man, not amoeba to... It takes as much faith to believe that God made man as it takes to believe in evolution. It's amazing to me, and yet evolution's taught us fact. Yeah. At Northwest ISD. I know it's a good school. We have good schools around here. But be careful. Right? It starts in steps. All of this started in steps. The little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine, and houses of worships have become places of entertainment. It's little steps. Little steps. Y'all still look like you are sad this morning. Norris, J. Frank Norris, in the early 1900s, broke away from the Southern Baptist Convention because Baylor, which was the primary Baptist seminary, began to teach evolution at the seminary level. And J. Frank Norris said, I'm not going to have nothing to do with that. The First Baptist Church of Fort Worth is not going to support that institution at the seminary level teaching evolution, which just boggles my mind. So J. Frank Norris pulled out. But it's these incremental steps that we must be careful about. The Bible says here in Psalm 78, when the psalmist here is speaking to the children of Israel, and he is encouraging them to make sure they teach their children about God. To make sure they teach their children about what God has done for them and how God brought them up out of Egypt. In other words, that they might set their hope in God and teach the next generation about their heritage. Why do we do this, Daddy? Mama, why do we do this? Why do we attend a Baptist church? Why do we attend this? Why? And we ought to, by the way, when a child asks why, we should have an answer. I'm not saying they ask some kooky question, but I'm saying when they ask legitimate questions, we ought to have an answer for them. And the answer should not be, well, Daddy, that's what Daddy says. You know, that's what Daddy thinks. Rules without reasons and relationships produces rebellion. And I think sometimes we get in that position where we're not teaching our children anything. We're just saying, well, that's what we've always done. We need to be careful to try our very best to answer the whys when we can, to answer the whys with our children. Notice what I said. I've kind of changed the way I say that. It's rules without reasons produce rebellion. But more than that, it's rules without reasons and relationship produces rebellion. You can reason all you want with your kid and have the right answers, but if you don't have a proper relationship with your child, it won't help. Amen. I am telling you, relationship with your child is so important. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. And you can come to the pastor's office and I'll counsel and help you with your children all day long. But one of the first questions I'm going to ask you is, how much time have you spent with your child? How much time have you spent with your child? Well, Brother Crawford, you know, I've disciplined them. I've done what you said. Discipline doesn't work without a relationship. And so we need that relationship with our children. As we teach them history, as we teach them about our heritage, we need that relationship with them in order to convey to them how God has affected our heritage and how God has worked in our heritage. How do we set or how do we fix our hope in God? By the way, our hope ought to be in God. Amen. Our confident expectation. Hope means confident expectation in God. My hope is in God today. I'm looking for the blessed hope. I'm looking for Him to return. Right? I'm looking for Him. My hope is in heaven. My hope is in eternal life. My hope is in the Lord Jesus, and we want to convey that to our children. How do we do that? By remembering His works. Look at verse 7. That they might set their hope in God. How? And not forget the works of God. One of the ways in which we can help our children and we ourselves can place our hope in God is by remembering His works. By remembering the things that God has done. In Israel, now in light of this passage, he's talking about Israel. Israel was brought by a mighty hand out of Egypt. God sent 10 great plagues upon Egypt. He turned the water into blood. He brought all sorts of great plagues upon Egypt. He brought them out with a mighty hand, the Bible says. He carried them on eagle's wings out of Egypt. Those are the mighty works that God did for Israel. He parted the Red Sea. And 1 million to 2 or 3 million Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. Understand that He didn't just part it and make a little single file line across the Red Sea. That parting would have had at least been a mile wide for them to make it across in one night. Sometimes our little picture books don't do it justice. And even Charlton Heston hasn't done it justice. And I think they got a new movie coming out now about it. Listen, that was a great miracle that was performed. A wonderful miracle. And when they crossed, the Bible says that God let the waters come down upon the armies of Egypt and all the army died, including Pharaoh himself. Unlike the Charlton Heston movie in which Pharaoh did not die. That's not biblical. Pharaoh dead. He died there in that Red Sea. Died means dead in the past tense. Dead. God did some great works for the nation of Israel. And all the psalmist is saying here is, remind them of what God did for them. Remind them of how God brought them out. And remember their heritage and they're walking through the wilderness. Listen, they wandered in the wilderness. They wandered in the desert for 40 years and yet their shoes did not wear out and their clothes didn't wear out. 40 years later, listen, 40 years later, they're wearing the same clothes. That's a miracle. In the desert, He brought water out of a rock. In the desert, He brought oil out of a rock. In the desert, He brought honey out of a rock. In the desert, He fed them with bread every morning except Saturday. They walked outside in the morning. There was, just as the dew was on the ground, they'd pick up all the bread. The Bible says they did it angels' food. And they had meat for their lust. He sent quail to them. The quail just came into the camp. They picked them up. Didn't have to use a 12-gauge shotgun on them. An automatic 1187 Remington shotgun. I bought one with some of the gifts y'all gave me for my birthday, gift cards. Went dove hunting. Those are ninja birds. I thought, well, if I get an automatic instead of a pump, I'll get a few. But no, I shot one. Joshua shot 9 with his pump shotgun. I'm going back to the pump. So, golly. Ninja birds, but their birds just came into the campground. They just picked them up. God provided meat for them in the wilderness for 40 years and bread. And all the psalmist is saying here is remind your children the works that God has done. Remind them of what God has done for them. And then the entrance into the promised land and God's miraculous miracle again of parting the River Jordan and conquering Jericho without one bow and arrow. I mean, the walls just came tumbling down. They shouted and the walls came down. God did some great things for the nation of Israel. So much so that 200 years later, people, non-Jews, were still talking about it. Amazing. There were still nations scared of the Israelites. 100, 200 years later, because of what God had done for the Israelites. We need to teach our children. We need to teach our children our heritage. And I understand we should teach them our nation's heritage, and that's so important. By the way, Thanksgiving's not about the Indians and the pilgrims getting together and having supper. It was the Indians and pilgrims being thankful they had anything to eat and thanking God for it. And there's more to it than that, but it was a celebration of God's blessings. They don't teach that in school. It did when I was a kid. We need to remind our children of our nation's heritage, but more importantly, we need to remind them of our Christian heritage. I'm so glad today that I'm saved. I'm glad I know that Jesus Christ came, the God of the universe. God, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And He died for me. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. He was buried for 3 days. And on the third day, He arose from the dead. He arose again. Why? For my sins. That my sins might be paid in full. He died for me. Gave His life for me. That's my heritage in Christ. Are you saved this morning? I hope you know you're saved. And if you're saved this morning, you should be sharing that with your children. Grandparents, you should be sharing it with your grandkids. I've told you guys many, many times, my papa, my dad's dad, had as much effect on me spiritually. Let me clarify. Had a great impact on me spiritually. Not as much as my dad, but a great impact on me spiritually throughout my entire childhood. I remember memorizing scripture with my papa. Grandparents can have a part. Have a part in that Christian heritage. I sang songs. My papa loved to sing. I remember singing songs with him. He loved that, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I don't know how many times I heard him sing that song. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And his little rough voice, not quite as rough as Lester Olof. And my papa was a little short, 5'7", you know, stocky man. And he's saying, "I shall dwell." He didn't sing as high as I could. "In the house of the Lord forever." What an impact it had on me. A godly man, just amazing. Amen. We need to share that heritage with our children. And our Baptist heritage. Listen, I am a Baptist. And our Baptist forefathers drowned and were burned and were branded for what they believed in. I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to give that up. Baptist identifies who we are. Baptist identifies our body of doctrine. Listen, somebody drives by our church, they should say, "Hey, that's a Baptist church, and they believe this, 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 and this." Amen? And we don't want to hide it. A lot of churches just hide in the name so they can hide it. You know, we're Baptists. It's important that people remember and we get across to our children the Baptist history. By the way, the term Anabaptist has been around since Christ, the day of Christ. We're not Protestants. And that's a whole other message. We're Baptists. Secondly, we think about how we influence our children, certainly reminding them of what God has done, but also reminding them to do their work. Look there, it says, "But keep His commandments." Encouraging them to do the work of God. Those who forget God's works are sure to fail in their own work. He who does not keep God's love in memory is not likely to remember His law. "If you love me, keep my commandments," right? And I love this. Israel was consistent only in their inconsistency. Israel's life, Israel, the nation of Israel, was only consistent in their inconsistency. Up and down spiritually, up and down spiritually, right? And the Christian life is a lot like that. But we need to remember that we are here to do a work for the Lord. And we're here to keep His commandments. Our purpose of teaching is to affect action and practice. Listen, we're here for Jesus. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do my commandments. Remember what Jesus did for us, who was loving, kind, and merciful, who died for us, who was kind. And loving Him, let us do for Him. Loving mercy, being kind. In other words, as we think about what Christ did for us, it should compel us, Paul said. It constrained Him to tell others of the good news of salvation. It compelled Him to tell of the Savior who was so kind and gracious to die and give His life for me, to do the work of the Lord. There's always room for improvement, isn't there? And think about verse 8. That they might not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. How would it be if each generation improved in their walk with God over the previous generation? But that's not happening. As a whole, that's not happening. Can I encourage you, parents, that your children will only do what you do, and most of the time a little less, unless God intervenes? Well, no, this is going to be a good one. You miss a certain amount of Sundays, they'll miss a few more Sundays than that. I'm just telling you. We need to be careful how we do. We need to be consistent. And absolutely, we need to remind them as a family, I'm talking about in my family, the Crawford family, there's a lack of remembrance. We need to remind them of what God has done for them, our children and our children's children. But if we're not careful, there's also not only a lack of remembrance, but a lack of doing. In other words, it's not just about what we can remember, but it's that remembrance affecting what we do. It's like reading the Bible doesn't help unless it affects what you do. Right? Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. You only believe what you practice. Amen. You only believe what you practice. So what we believe, what we remember about history, and that's why I'm talking about our politicians should be students of history in order to help impact the decisions they make. If they would do that, it would be a great help. Amen, wouldn't it? You have to agree with that. Same thing in our Christian heritage. If we will get across to our children what God has done for us. Listen, there ought to be times in which we're sharing with our children, look what Jesus did for me. Look what God did for us. Look at the blessings of the home that God had given us. Look at the blessing of the car and the blessings of this. We should show them. We should show them what He's done. And said, because of what God has done for me, I'm going to do this. No, it's not all based upon getting and giving, so forth. If you love me, you keep my commandments, right? But it ought to impact our future decisions. As a church, we need to remember. There's a lack of remembrance, and therefore a lack of doing. God has been so good to Heritage Baptist Church. And God has placed us in a position to impact our community, to impact the state of Texas and America and around the world. And we certainly need to be good stewards of the position God has put us in. Sunday school teachers need to be reminded of the position you're in. Children's church workers this morning, aren't you glad there's children's church workers? How many of y'all would like all them kids out here? Aren't you thankful for nursery workers? Man, maybe the greatest awards in heaven are going to be for nursery workers. Would you imagine if there was just, I know there's some newborns in here and some other, but listen, if it was just all babies in here, it would be hard to listen to. Especially with my ADD, I'd be all over the map. That fly last week just about got us. I almost had to quit. Amen? Listen, it's about impacting what we do. The lack of doing. That they might set their hope in God. Listen, the greatest hope we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen? Our hope is in the Lord. We need to teach our kids to set their hope in Him. How? By remembering what Jesus did for us. Jesus gave His life for me, that I might, on Calvary, shed His blood for me, that I might have eternal life. Church, Heritage Baptist Church, remember, there was a price paid for us. Our forefathers paid a price for us to have the English Bible. Amen. Our forefathers paid a price for us to be Baptist. Let's don't give that up easily. Let this generation at least our kids, improve over the last generation. Amen. And through the Lord's help, that can happen. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. Our heritage, our godly heritage, remembering our heritage. And whether we're remembering Lester Roloff or Charles Spurgeon or J. Frank Norris, all these are earthly. Remembering the greatest heritage we have is in Jesus Christ. What a great example we have that He who was rich became poor in order that we might be made rich. Listen, in order that we might have eternal life. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as Savior, if you're here today and you can honestly say that you wouldn't know if you were to die today, you'd have a home in heaven. Listen, you can know. You can know this morning that if you were to die, that heaven would be your home. You say, preacher, how? By placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have work altar workers down here that will show you from the Scriptures how you can know. Oh, John said, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. It doesn't have to be a hope-so thing. It can be a know-so. I want to encourage you to take courage and step out of your chair and come forward and let someone show you from the Scriptures how you can have eternal life. Amen. Christian mom and dads, church family, maybe it might be good to come down and say, Lord, help me to teach my children to place their hope in you. God, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. By the way, as parents, we don't have all the answers. Come down and ask the Lord to help you, and He will. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. Help us, Lord, to be thankful in, Lord, and of course in rememberings, being thankful for all that you've done for us as a church, as a country, Lord, as a family, and as individuals. I pray this morning you would just give us wisdom in raising our children. Give us wisdom in raising our families. Lord, help us just help our children to put their hope in you. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you as Savior, I pray today that you might convict them. Lord, that you might stir them. Lord, that they would take courage and step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. Lord, bless as only you can in Jesus' name.